Middle School Drama Club would like to welcome you to the premiere of our radio show, The Mad Tea Party. Following this performance, the show will be posted on the Middle School Drama webpage. At this time, we ask you to please mute your sound, sit back, and enjoy the show.
When our story begins, Alice has already been through very many curious adventures.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Ever since she suddenly found herself falling helplessly down, down, down a very deep rabbit hole into a strange world.
Dear, dear, how strange everything is today.
A world filled with the most eccentric creatures, a singing white rabbit with a waistcoat pocket watch.
How doth the little crafter down poof the shining tail? For the waters of the Nile, every golden scale. How cheerfully it seems to grin, how neatly spread his claws. He welcomes little fishes and with gently smiling jaws.
A nasty-tempered old duchess who shook her baby so violently it turned into a pig. A caterpillar who demanded to know of Alice.
Who are you?
I hardly know, sir. Just at present, at least, I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have changed several times since then.
What do you mean by that? Explain yourself.
I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir, because I'm not myself. You see?
I don't see.
I'm afraid I can't put it more clearly, for I can't understand it myself to begin with, and being so many different sizes in a day is very confusing.
It isn't.
Well, perhaps you haven't found it so yet. But when you have to turn into a chrysalis, you will someday, you know. And then after that into a butterfly, I should think you'd feel a little strange, won't you?
Not a bit.
Well, perhaps your feelings may be different. All I know is it would feel very strange to me.
You? Who are you?
I think you want to tell me who you are first.
Why?
Here was another puzzling question, and as Alice could not think of any good reason, and as the caterpillar seemed to be very unpleasant state of mind, she turned away.
Come back. I have something important to say.
Yes? Well?
Keep your temper.
Is that all?
No. So you think you changed, do you?
I'm afraid I am, sir. I can't remember things as I used to. And I don't keep the same size for 10 minutes together.
Can't remember what things?
Well, I've tried to say, how doth the little busy bee, but it came different.
Recite, you are old, Father William.
You are old, Father William, the young man said, and your hair has become very white. And yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think it your age is right?
In my youth, Father William replied to his son, I feared it might injure the brain. But now that I'm perfectly sure I have none, why I do it again and again.
You are old, said the youth, and your jaws are too weak for anything tougher than suet. Yet you finished the goose with the bones in the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it?
In my youth, said his father, I took to the law and argued each case with my wife. And the muscular strength which it gave to my jaw has lasted through the rest of my life.
You are old, said the youth, as I mentioned before, and you have grown most uncommonly fat.
That is not said right.
Not quite right, I'm afraid. Some of the words have got altered.
It is wrong from beginning to end. What size do you want to be?
Oh, I'm not particular as to size. Only one doesn't like changing so often, you know?
I don't know. Are you content now?
Well, I should like to be a little larger, sir. If you wouldn't mind, 3 inches is such a wretched height to be.
It's a very good height indeed.
But I'm not used to it.
You'll get used to it in time.
Alice left the caterpillar, confused as ever, and wondering what could possibly happen next. Alice found herself walking through a wood. When she was a little startled by seeing the Cheshire Cat sitting on the bough of a tree a few yards off, the cat only grinned when it saw Alice. It looked good-natured, she thought. Still, it had very long claws and had a great many teeth, so she felt that it ought to be treated with respect.
Cheshire Cat, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?
That depends a good deal on where you want to get to.
Oh, I don't much care where.
Then it doesn't matter which way you go.
So long as I get somewhere.
Oh, you're sure to do that if you only walk long enough.
Alice felt that this could not be denied, so she tried another question.
What sort of people live about here?
In that direction was a hatter, and in that direction was a March Hare. Is it either you like? They're both mad.
Oh, but I don't want to go amongst mad people.
Oh, you can't help that. We're all mad here. I'm mad, you're mad.
And how do you know that I'm mad?
You must be, or you wouldn't have come here.
Alice did not think that proved it at all. However, she went on.
And how do you know that you're mad?
To begin with, a dog's not mad. You grant that.
I suppose so.
Well then, you see, a dog growls when it's angry and wags its tail when it's pleased. Now I growl when I'm pleased and wag my tail when I'm angry. Therefore, I'm mad.
With that, the cat vanished quite slowly, beginning with the end of the tail and ending with the grin, which remained some time after the rest of it had gone.
Well, I've often seen a cat without a grin, but a grin without a cat? It's the most curious thing I ever saw in my life.
Alice waited a little, half expecting to see it again, but it did not appear. And after a minute or two, she walked on in the direction of which the March Hare was said to live.
I've seen hatters before. The March Hare will be the most interesting. And perhaps, as this is May, it won't be raving mad. At least, not so mad as it was in March.
And now, an important word from one of our fine sponsors.
Hey, hon, kids, it's Friday night, and I was thinking, how about I treat the whole family to dinner out?
Oh, that sounds wonderful, dear. I can use a night off from the kitchen.
Yay! I love eating out.
Me too. Thanks, Dad.
So, where should we go, hon?
Let me think for a moment.
How about the burger barn?
Well, I was thinking of something a little more formal. Not fancy, mind you. Somewhere where we could be waited on and not have to order from the counter.
I think we go to Lettuce Land.
Yuck! You would suggest that. Dad, don't make us go to a salad place, please.
That's enough. If you two are going to complain, we can just stay at home and have...
That's it! That's it! I know the perfect place. Let's go to the Leftover Cafe.
Yay! Yippee! Awesome!
That's perfect, dear.
Last one in the car is a rotten egg.
Yay! Awesome!
The family knows, for a great evening out, there's no place like Aunt Lottie's Leftover Cafe, located on Historic Highway 178, right next to the local hazardous waste disposal site. The Leftover Cafe is a truly unique dining experience. There are no printed menus, but our courteous and professional staff will help you guide you in your dining choices. The Leftover Cafe features cuisine from some of the finest dining establishments in the area, served piping hot on our trademark Melmac dinner plates. Aunt Lottie's chefs are highly trained. They're experts in combing the neighborhood to find the finest culinary fare for your dining pleasure.
Hey, Joe, smell this.
Shh. Chamar's salt.
I think we just found our Friday special.
Yeah, give me a minute to box it all up.
Hey, I told you guys to stop hanging around the back of the store. Now beat it, or I'll call the cops.
We all know that good food always tastes better the next day. And at the Leftover Cafe, that's all we serve. Our staff is so committed to providing your family with the highest quality in the restaurant fare that they will exhaust every option, no matter how unconventional, to bring you fancy food at affordable prices.
Hey lady, you gonna finish that?
Yes, I was.
Nah, you don't wanna eat all of that. You wanna blow up all fat like my Aunt Bertha? Here, let me scrape some of that off your plate.
Hey
you, I told you to get out of here. Now scram and don't come back.
Why not visit the Leftover Cafe this weekend? You'll be glad you did. And don't forget our week-old leftover specials. They're perfect for entertaining those out-of-town relatives who just happen to drop by.
Hey, Dad, what did you get?
I don't know, something with noodles, but it sure tastes great.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Lottie's Leftover Cafe on Highway 178, a truly unique dining experience.
And now back to the Mad Tea Party.
Alice waited a little, half expecting to see the Cheshire Cat again, but it did not appear. And after a minute or two, she walked on in the direction in which the March Hare was said to live.
I've seen hatters before. The March Hare will be the most interesting. And perhaps, as this is May, it won't be raving mad, at least not so mad as it was in March.
She had not gone much farther before she came in sight of the house of the March Hare. She thought it must be the right house, because the chimneys were shaped like ears and the roof was thatched with fur. It was quite large and formidable, and she walked towards it rather timidly, saying to herself,
"Suppose it should be raving mad after all. I almost wish I'd gone to see the Hatter instead."
There was a table set out under a tree in front of the house, and the March Hare and the Hatter were having tea at it.
The sun was shining on the sea, shining with all of his might. He did his very best to make the billows smooth and bright.
"Excuse me."
And this was odd because it was the middle of the night.
A dormouse was sitting between them, fast asleep, and the other two were using it as a cushion, resting their elbows on it and talking over its head.
"Very uncomfortable for the dormouse, only as it's asleep, I suppose it doesn't mind."
The table was a large one, but the three were all crowded together at one corner of it.
The moon was shining silkily because she thought the sun had got no business to be there after the day was done.
"It's very rude of him," she said, "to come and spoil the fun."
"Excuse me."
The sea was wet as wet could be, the sands were dry as dry. You could not see a cloud because no cloud was in the sky.
"No birds were flying overhead, there were no birds to fly."
"Please."
No room.
"There's plenty of room."
"Have some wine."
"I don't see any wine."
"There isn't any."
"Then it wasn't very civil of you to offer it."
"It wasn't very civil of you to sit down without being invited."
"I didn't know it was your table. It's laid for a great many more than three."
No room.
"Your hair wants cutting."
"You should learn not to make personal remarks. It's very rude."
"Why is a raven like a writing desk?"
"Come, we shall have some fun now. I'm glad they've begun asking riddles. I believe I can guess that."
"Do you mean that you think you can find out the answer to it?"
"Exactly so."
"Then you should say what you mean."
"I do. At least, I mean what I say. That's the same thing, you know."
"Not the same thing a bit. You might as well say that I see what I eat is the same thing as I eat what I see."
"You might just as well say that I like what I get is the same thing as I get what I like."
"You might just as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same thing as I sleep when I breathe."
"But it is the same thing with you. Alice, what day of the month is it?"
The Hatter had taken his watch out of his pocket and was looking at it uneasily, shaking it every now and then and holding it to his ear. Alice considered a little and then said,
"The 4th.
2 days wrong. I told you butter wouldn't suit the works."
"Who's the best butter?"
"Yes, but some crumbs must have gotten in as well. You shouldn't have put it in with a bread knife."
The March Hare took the watch and looked at it gloomily. Then he dipped it into his cup of tea and looked at it again. He could think of nothing better to say than his first remark.
"It was the best butter, you know."
Alice had been looking over his shoulder with some curiosity.
"What a funny watch. It tells the day of the month. And does it tell what o'clock it is?"
"Why should it? Does your watch tell you what year it is?"
"Of course not. But that's because it stays the same year for such a long time together."
"Which is just the case with mine."
Alice felt dreadfully puzzled. The Hatter's remark seemed to have no sort of meaning in it. And yet, it was certainly English.
"I don't quite understand you."
"The dormouse is asleep again," said
the Hatter, and he poured a little hot tea upon its nose.
Of course, just what I was going to remark myself.
Have you guessed the riddle yet?
No, I give up. What's the answer?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Nor I.
Then you might do something better with the time than waste it in asking riddles you have no answers.
If you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. It's him.
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you don't. I dare say you never even spoke to time.
Perhaps not, but I know I have to beat time when I learn music.
Ah, that explains it. He won't stand beating. Now, if you only kept on good terms with him, he'd do almost anything you'd like with the clock. For instance, suppose it were 9 o'clock in the morning, just time to begin lessons. You'd only have to whisper a hint to time, and run goes the clock in a twinkling. 1:30, time for dinner.
I only wish it was.
That would be grand, certainly, but then I shouldn't be hungry for it, you know?
Not at first, perhaps, but you could keep it to 1:30 as long as you like.
Is that the way you manage?
Not I. We argued last March, just before the hair went mad. You know, it was at the great concert given by the Queen of Hearts, and I had to sing, "Twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder what you're at." You know the song, perhaps?
I've heard something like it.
It goes on, you know, in this way. Up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, twinkle.
Here the Dormouse shook itself and began singing in its sleep, and went on so long that they had to pinch it to make it stop.
Well, I hardly finished the first verse when the Queen jumped up and shouted out, "He's murdering the time. Off with his head."
How dreadfully savage!
And ever since that, he won't do a thing I ask. It's always 6 o'clock now.
A bright idea came into Alice's head.
Is that the reason so many tea things are put out here?
Yes, that's it. It's always tea time, and we've no time to wash things between whiles.
Then you keep moving round, I suppose.
Exactly so, as the things get used up.
But what happens when you come to the beginning again?
Suppose we change the subject. I'm getting tired of this. I vote the young lady tells us a story.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't know one.
Then the Dormouse shall.
Wake up, Dormouse.
And they pinched it on both sides at once. The Dormouse slowly opened his eyes.
I wasn't asleep. I heard every word you fellows were saying.
Tell us a story.
Yes, please do.
And be quick about it, or you'll be asleep again before it's done.
Once upon a time, there were 3 little sisters. Their names were Elsie, Lacey, and Tilly, and they lived at the bottom of a well.
What did they live on?
They lived on pudding.
They couldn't have done that, you know. They'd have been ill.
So they were. Very ill.
Alice tried to fancy to herself what an extraordinary way of living that would be like, but it puzzled her too much.
But why did they live at the bottom of a well?
Take some more tea.
I have had nothing yet, so I can't take more.
You mean you can't take less? It's very easy to take more than nothing.
Nobody asked your opinion.
Who's making personal remarks now?
Alice did not quite know what to say to this, so she helped herself to some tea and bread and butter, and then turned to the Dormouse and repeated her question.
Why do they live at the bottom of a well?
The Dormouse again took a minute or two to think about it.
It was pudding room.
There's no such thing.
If you can be civil, you better finish the story for yourself.
Oh, no. Please go on. I won't interrupt again. I dare say there may be one.
One indeed. And so these 3 little sisters, they were learning to draw, you know?
What did they draw?
Pudding.
I want a clean cup. Let's all move one place on.
He moved on as he spoke, and the Dormouse followed him. The March Hare moved into the Dormouse's place, and Alice rather unwillingly took the place of the March Hare. The Hatter was the only one who got any advantage from the change, and Alice was a good deal worse off than before, as the March Hare had just upset Milk Jug into his plate. Alice did not wish to offend the Dormouse again, so she began very cautiously.
But I don't understand. Where did they draw the pudding from?
You can draw water out of a water well, so I should think you could draw pudding out of a pudding well. Eh? Stupid?
But they were in the well.
Of course they were. Well then.
This answer so confused poor Alice that she let the Dormouse go on for some time without interrupting it.
They were learning to draw, and they draw a manner of things. Everything that begins with an M.
Why with an M?
Why not?
Alice was silent. The Dormouse had closed its eyes by this time and was going off into a doze. But on being pinched by the Hatter, it woke up again with a little shriek and went on.
That begins with an M, such as mousetraps and the moon and memory and muchness. You know, you say things are much of a muchness. Did you ever see such a thing as a drawing of a muchness?
Really? Now you ask me, I don't think.
Then you shouldn't talk.
This piece of rudeness was more than Alice could bear. She got up in great disgust and walked off. The Dormouse fell asleep instantly, and neither of the others took the least notice of her going, though she looked back once or twice, half hoping that they would call after her. The last time she saw them, they were trying to put the Dormouse into the teapot.
At any rate, I'll never go there again,
said Alice as she picked her way through the woods.
That's the stupidest tea party I ever was at in all my life.
Just as she said this, she noticed that one of the trees had a door leading right into it.
That's very curious. But everything's curious today. I think I may as well go in at once.
And in she went. But that is a story for another day.